pasteurization used most extensively on heifers, and in general, the predictability of the onset or occurrence of heat relative to administration of the protocol has been relatively consistent. The point that I want to make relative to administering any of these protocols is that once you administer prostaglandin, whether you administer prostaglandin solely or in combination with any of the protocols that we'll be talking about that are shown on that sheet, what we consider a response to that injection will actually or can actually occur from anywhere from up to 144 hours. And the time of occurrence relative to when heat actually occurs is where those females are at in those follicular waves at the time the prostaglandin is administered. And so I think that's one point I'm going to consider relative to those of you that are going to be detecting heat on cattle. 7-day cedar prostaglandin protocol. The initial approval for the cedar was based on the administration of prostaglandin on day 6, followed on day 7 by withdrawal of the cedar. And that has been modified over the last couple of years now to where prostaglandin is administered at the time the cedars are removed. And for good reason, simply due to the fact that it's more practical to move cattle through the chute on one day as opposed to back-to-back. What it means relative to differences in that follow during that synchronized period are really not very significant, only significant with regard to when the cattle actually come into heat. This shows or illustrates the percentage of heifers that come into heat and when relative to the 7-day cedar with prostaglandin administered on day 6, reflected in the red bars, in comparison to the 7-day cedar with prostaglandin administered on day 7, represented by the yellow bars. And you can see, relative to cedar removal, there is a difference as to when those heifers can be expected to exhibit heat. But if we look at total response relative to the number that failed to respond or those that did respond, the difference is just simply a difference relative to the time at which those heifers do exhibit estrus. And so what you need to consider is that we need to set these systems up on a calendar. And so we talk lots of times with our producers if they're using cedar protocols, the 7-day cedar, Monday, Wednesday, Wednesday protocols. So cedar in on a Monday, cedar out on a Monday or Wednesday, as illustrated on this slide. What the response range rate typically can be expected to be anywhere in the 60 to 80% range. The timing of estrus, the peak response ranges will be anywhere from 36 to 72 hours. If you administer prostaglandin on day 6, followed on day 7 with removal of the cedar, or 48 to 84 hours if you actually combine the injection of prostaglandin and the cedar removal on the same day. Are there protocols that facilitate fixed time AI in heifers? There are two protocols that are shown on your sheet, and many of us that work in this area right now, for the most part, agree. We're not where we need to be, in many of our opinions, relative to blanket recommendations to time breed heifers. The response to GnRH in heifers is much less predictable than it is in cows. And Mike Smith, another reproductive physiologist in our department, is working in this area and has some interesting data to demonstrate that. But at this point, if you're in a situation where you have to time breed heifers and you're not physically able to get heat detection done in conjunction with your synchronization program, the protocols that are listed on that sheet are probably the ones to consider. But in general, as you'll see from some of the data that I'll be showing you on the cow side, we're not where we need to be in terms of just blanket recommendation. This is kind of a summary of some of the data that's out there relative to the protocols that are actually listed on your sheet. And I think these are important reference points for you if you're considering using any of these particular treatments. First of all, the protocol that's been used the most extensively in beef heifers, and much of this is data that's been published in refereed journals. We went through and tried to summarize some of these statistics the graduate students in our department did. And the important thing here is that if we compare estrus response on the 14-19 day MGA prostaglandin protocol the cedar frosted lanin paper that was submitted for FDA approval, that data, the frosted lanin actually administered on day 6. The response in that study was actually lower. There were no differences in conception rate, or no significantly lower conception rates. But you can see here it did result in differences, at least for presentation purposes shown on this slide, that the pregnancy rates were lower. But the point that needs to be considered here is, for whatever reason, in that data that Matt Lucy published in the multi-state heifer trial, the overall response was lower in heifers in that particular study. If we consider the heat detect and time AI protocols, and this work was compiled by Cliff Lamb at the University of Minnesota, in a multi-state study that was done and supported by originally Pharmacia and then Pfizer, you can see what happened relative to heifers on either of these protocols. The first, the 7-day cedar with prostaglandin, actually administered on day 7. And the FlexSync plus cedar, which is GnRH, followed 7 days later with prostaglandin and the cedar inserted during or at the time that GnRH is administered and withdrawn at the time prostaglandin was given. Heifers were inseminated on the basis of heat up to 84 hours, and any of the heifers that had not yet responded at 84 hours were inseminated at that time with GnRH administered at the time of insemination. And you can see that the pregnancy rates were relative to that. The straight fixed time AI protocol, the cedar prostaglandin protocol, with insemination performed at 60 hours in comparison to the coasting cedar, and you can see that those respective treatments involved that are illustrated on your sheets, no significant differences relative to fixed time AI pregnancy rates. And so, based on the data that's out there, if you are looking at trying to identify a protocol to time breed heifers, the best data that's out there right now would indicate that you could probably expect in the 50% pregnancy rate range if you're going to be doing that. So, which protocol should you use? You need to base your decision on several things. Obviously, what are your goals, what your level of management is, what your facilities can tolerate, and then obviously your time and labor. Now I want to move on to considerations related to the cows. And I'm going to spend the bulk of the time talking about progestin-based protocols. And the reason for that deals primarily with the fact that we have to consider issues related to anestrus. And in our hands, the experience that we've had, the progestin-based treatments actually are the protocols that offer us the most consistent results relative to not only bringing cows into heat at or during the synchronized period, but also resulting in more cows pregnant in association with that. I'm going to start with first a discussion of the MJ-based protocols, and two of the protocols that I'm going to be discussing are protocols that we actually developed in our program at the University of Missouri. They become known by trade name as the MJ Select and 7-11 Sync protocols, and what I want to show you first are how the protocols perform in synchronizing estrus in cows relative to cycling and non-cycling in comparisons of those two treatments, and then I'll move on to consideration of the treatment in comparison to the cedar. This is an important point, and I think you'll see it relative to the percentages that we'll show at the end of the presentation in terms of comparison of the various protocols that are out there and have been used fairly extensively in cows. And that is that where we're at right now, especially on the cow side, is because we're getting more predictable responses in many situations in cows than we are in heifers. The important thing to take from this is that these protocols are working. The combination protocols that involve progestin, GnRH, prostaglandin work very effectively on both manipulating the CL as well as follicle dynamics on the ovaries of these cows. The MJ Select protocol is basically the 14-19-day protocol with GnRH added on day 12 after MJ. And a large reason why GnRH was added to that treatment schedule was to reset follicular waves on cows prior to the time they were given prostaglandin to more or less decrease the period of time over which you have to detect heat, because what it does is it facilitates increased numbers of cows coming into heat over a shorter period of time. The shorter protocol, the 7-11 sync protocol, and this protocol is being used a lot in various E2 programs in terms of setting up recips, is that it essentially to work similar to in terms of estrus response rates to this protocol, more is involved relative to administration of those treatments to try and affect that similar response rate. And so what it is what involves a 7-day feeding period of MGA followed on day 7, or at the time, the last day of MGA feeding with administration of prostaglandin, waiting a period of 4 days getting GnRH, and followed in 7 days with the administration of prostaglandin. When we developed each of these protocols, they were hypothesized to both improve response rates and pregnancy rates during synchronized periods, again, among cycling and non-cycling cows. And unlike heifers, we don't typically or haven't typically track-scored cows to really get some gauges to where those heifers or cows are at in terms of cyclicity status. But we pretty well, they would work both of them fairly effectively in synchronizing estrus and cycling cows. Also would offer the added option of induction of cyclicity in estrus or non-cycling cows. And one of the important points relative to the addition of GnRH to that treatment schedule is that in any group of cows that return to heat following calving, what you can typically expect to find, in fact, data from the USDA station at Miles City years ago would suggest that over 90% of all cows, as they return to heat following calving, will experience a short luteal phase. In other words, they'll come into heat, they'll ovulate or express heat, followed in 7 to 12 days by another heat, or in other words, a short cycle. That subsequent heat is then followed by a normal cycle length. It's more or less, it can be considered to be somewhat of a priming mechanism to help that cow assume normal estrus cyclicity status. One of the things that GnRH has done, based on data that we've collected, is it's helped us overcome that short cycle occurrence to where, when we administer prostaglandin, those cows that were, in some situations, destined to short cycle, those cows are now moved up into that synchronized period following prostaglandin to where our total response rates have increased significantly. So, to get back to the point we talked about from the beginning, is to try and decrease the period of time required to detect heat or work toward timed AI. I don't have time to show you all the data that was collected to lead to this slide, but these were the times that were identified based off of HeatWatch with multiple studies that led us to the time points that are shown here. With the MGA Select protocol, that time that was identified based on repeated response rates on groups of cows was that if you're going to time breed 72 hours following the administration of prostaglandin was the time we identified, and at that time GnRH needs to be administered at the time insemination is performed. What does that mean? That means if I give prostaglandin, if I have this protocol set up on a group of cows to where I give prostaglandin on Monday morning at 8 o'clock, those cows need to be stacked and loaded in a chute to be ready to breed starting at 8 o'clock on Thursday morning. Okay? You need to, once you give this injection, start paying attention to the clock. Because one of the things that we have seen is that if we go too far in terms of being early or too far in terms of being late, you'll start to see percentage drops in terms of your pregnancy rates. Now, these times that are identified here, and we'll talk about it also with the CEDAR protocol, are working with two groups of cows. You're breeding cows that are actually in heat at a time that is more or less opportune relative to breeding them by heat. But you're also allowing cows that have not yet expressed heat to grow follicles large enough to where if you are inducing ovulation on those cows, the likelihood first of conception occurring is improved, but also from what we're learning, the likelihood of those embryos, if conception does occur, being maintained is also improved. And so if we induce cows relative to small follicle size class, what we are beginning to understand is that there's an increased rate of embryonic mortality among those cows. That's why in many situations these combination protocols are working to the extent they are. Those of you that have worked with the COSA understand that in some situations you see a degree of variability with that protocol. COSINC involves an injection of GnRH followed 7 days later with prostaglandin, and time breeding with GnRH administered at AI 48 hours following prostaglandin. What happens with that protocol in many situations is the problem I just mentioned. You induce ovulation on a percentage of cows cells that have small follicles at the time they're induced, and those go on to result in higher rates of embryo mortality. These protocols, in many situations, based on our data, would indicate that the time you're actually inducing ovulation, you have follicle sizes on cows that are going to be outside that sort of risky range. In terms of 7-11, what you can see here is that 60 hours is the time it was identified relative to time getting those cows on that treatment. This is the first data set that we had comparing those two treatments head to head. These were done at three of our university farms. And an important consideration relative to if you are using MJ on cows is days postpartum. Okay, if you have 100 cows that you're going to put on an MGA protocol, those cows should be in an average for about 40 days from calving to the first day of MGA feeding. Okay, and that's an important consideration relative to MGA use. If you're talking about the 7-11 sync protocol, the data shown on this slide combines both of those treatments, both the cows that are on 7-11 as well as MGA select. But obviously, with the shorter protocol, those cows have a bit more time before the treatment to actually begin. This time point coincides to the cows that were actually consuming MGA, or in the case of the cows on 7-11, those cows were fed carrier without MGA up to the time their MGA treatment with that treatment protocol began. Condition score was very good. There were a little over 5, approaching 6. There were 400,000, or a little over 400,000 involved in this study. And this is an important point. I talked about working with mixed populations of cycling and non-cycling cows. We bleed cows 2 times prior to the time they begin treatment, and this was prior to the time that whole group of cows BJ or carrier. And as you can see here, these percentages indicate the number of cows or percentage of cows that had actually returned to eat prior to the time they began treatment. Only 27% of the cows were cycling at the time they went on treatment. What that tells you is that 73% of the cows had not yet returned to heat. Now, I want you to consider that relative to the data shown on this slide. These are the time day I pregnancy rates of the cows that were involved in that study. The point that I want to begin with is that there was no heat detection done on these cows at all. Cows were simply loaded in chutes at the appointed times and inseminated with respect to the treatment they were on. If you look at location 1, the pregnancy rates on 7-11 were 62 versus 65% for MGA Select, 57 versus 69% 7-11 versus MGA Select, and at location 3, 67 versus 66. The combined percentages for the three locations, 61 versus 67%, and the point that I want to make here relative to this is that although there were these differences, there are numeric differences, statistically there is no statistically significant difference between those treatments based on this data, and so based on that, in our hands, at any rate, there's no biological difference or expectation relative to how the treatment should be expected to perform. The final pregnancy rates were very good, 94 and 95% respectively at the end of the 60-day breeding season. This slide breaks the data out relative to time to AI pregnancy rates on the basis of whether or not the cows were cycling at the time treatments were imposed or whether they were anestrous and had not yet returned to heat. And if we compare the treatments, 70% of the cycling MGA select treated versus 69% of the 7-11 sync treated cows. And if we consider the anestrous cows, 65% of the anestrous MGA select treated cows became pregnant versus 58% of the 7-11 sync treated cows. Now, one of the things that we're seeing in Missouri is a huge interest in timed artificial insemination of cows in particular. And one of the questions that we're getting is asked on this slide. It's not so much what the mechanics are going to be relative to actually physically breeding the cows, but what's going to occur in 9 months at the time of calving. And so what we did was we wanted to answer the question as to what do we expect with calving from cows that conceive on the same day to the same sire. And John Davis, a graduate student in my program that was in charge of this project, collected the data at calving this last year ago during the calving season on the cows that were involved in that study. The point that I want to make relative to this is that first, the accuracy of the data represented on this slide we think is without question. The point relative to that is that first, these cows were all inseminated on the same day. Second, cleanup bulls did not go in or were exposed to these cows for 2 weeks after the timed insemination was performed. Third, ultrasound was performed on these cows within 40 to 45 days after the AI date. And then pregnancy was reconfirmed within 60 days following the end of the breeding season, and then all the calving data was matched against those cows relative to those that were diagnosed as pregnant. What's shown on each of these panels, the top two panels reflect the cows that looked at location one, the middle two reflect the cows at location two, and the third panel reflects the cows at location three. The way these graphs are set up, each one of them have a black bar. That reflects a point in time relative to 285 days of gestation, okay? And so what you can see relative to the data illustrated on this slide is where those cows, based on the size that were used. And I should go through these. This first panel reflects cows that were all inseminated and became pregnant on the same day to an Angus 0.2 birth weight EPD. Bull B had a plus 3.3 birth weight EPD. The bull that was used at location 3 was the same bull that was used as bull B at location 1. Bull C was a red Angus, and bull D was a Simmental. And what you can see here is that the longest calving date range on any of the bulls that are represented or progeny from them was actually 20 days. If we look at the mode, and what the mode is basically the actual day of gestation in terms of calving date that we had the highest frequency or the most number of calves born on, it actually was 282 days of gestation. And so the answer to the question relative, are all the cows going to calve on the same day? The answer is no. The highest percentage of cows that calved to any one of the bulls on a single day was 20% of the cows that conceived to that particular bull. And so, in that regard, I don't think it's going to call for significant changes relative to management. And in some cases, based on much of the work that I was involved with in graduate school at USDA Station with Bob Bellows and his calving difficulty work, if you can spend more time over a shorter period of time, typically what you're going to see is improvement in calving results. These are the average lengths of the gestation and the ranges and days, just for your own information, but I think you can see based on the numbers there, there was a fairly wide range. So, summary comments relative to the MGA-based programs. First, if we consider pros and cons in terms of advantages of MGA Select versus 7-Eleven, and the point that I do want to make is 7-Eleven is not on that list of recommended protocols, and much of the reason for that is that, the number of times cattle have to go through the chute. MGA Select obviously does not require that extensive number of handlings, and so the other point relative to it is that we've had more consistent results in using the MGA Select protocol, especially with time delay, than we have with 7-Eleven. Both of these protocols have been shown to be effective in groups of cows that were cycling or anestrous. The synchrony of estrus is good with MGA Select, but it's exceptional with 7-Eleven. Fertility after treatment has been demonstrated to be good with both of those protocols. Treatment duration is an advantage with 7-Eleven simply due to the fact it's a shorter protocol from the standpoint that it requires multiple animal handlings. Treatment length is considered in many situations a disadvantage for the MGA Select protocol. And obviously, one of the big hurdles, especially for those of you in western and range environments, if you're trying to get MGA into cows on pasture, especially in more extensive pasture situations, it can be a problem. And that's why I think some of the data that I'll be showing now relative to cedars has a lot of potential. If we look at the data summarized on this slide, and we'll have some summary slides at the end to kind of pull all of this together, but these are the numbers that we're starting to get very interested in relative to comparison of breeding cows on the basis of detected heat, and much of this is actually in support of or with the aid of heat watches. So the predictability of when those cows actually came into heat and when they were inseminated relative to heat, we think was very good. But you can see here there's really very similar results based on whether the cows were inseminated on the basis of detected heat or returned in fixed terms. So we do think that the sequential approach to synchronization has a lot of potential for use in cows. But the bottom line, if you're using MGA-based programs in cows, especially on pasture, you really have to make sure that you get adequate intake if you're going to get the results that we've shown here. So how do the MGA and prepare? And Daniel Schaefer, who's sitting in the back of the room, actually should be the one presenting this data because it's his work that he was involved with it as part of his master's project this last year. But what we wanted to do, our group has worked extensively with MGA-based protocols for years. But what we wanted to do with the approval of the CEDAR and based on results from the multi-state CEDAR trial that was conducted a couple of years ago, and with some recent data from Daryl Kessler's lab at the University of Illinois looking at differing times relative to time breeding cows, we wanted to put the two protocols head-to-head this past year and see how they performed. The times that we used relative to the cows that were involved in this experiment are shown here. We stuck with 72 hours on the MGA Select protocol, and that is the time that, in our hands, we've had the best and most consistent results with. The time that was identified and used for the Co-Sync CEDAR protocol was 66 hours. And so how we arrived at that was based on published data that was available at the time this experiment was set up. We identified the data set that gave the highest pregnancy rates. The numbers of cows in this trial, we think, stand up to some criticism relative to whether or not it was an adequate test because of the numbers that were involved. And what that protocol involves relative to the Co-Sync CEDAR protocol is, as you can see here, GNIH was administered the time CEDAR was inserted. 7 days later, prostaglandin is administered. At the time, CEDARs are withdrawn, and then the cows are inseminated with GNIH administered with AI 66 hours later. So talk yourselves through that. If you pull CEDARs on a Monday at 2 o'clock and give prostaglandin at that time, those cows should be in the chute at 8 o'clock in the morning on Thursday being inseminated. And that's basically all it is to try and arrive at that time frame. Cows that were involved in this study were at four locations. We had 650 cows at the four locations that were assigned within age group and by calving date and body condition to either one of the two treatments. All these cows were blood cyclicity rates of the cows prior to the time they began treatment with MGA or carrier without MGA prior to the time CEDARs were inserted. There were three technicians involved in the study at each of the locations, and the same three technicians, but all the cows, the same technicians were involved with insemination at each of the four locations. AI technician and sire were assigned to the cows within age and treatment by calving date and body conditions. So it's an important point, Rowan, to try and to make fair comparisons among the treatment that we had no confounding relative to technician, sire, etc. Prostaglandin and AI times were recorded on individual cows, so we knew exactly the time of the day the prostaglandin injection was administered relative to CEDAR removal. Likewise, when AI was performed in GNIH, it was administered at the time of fixed time AI. There were four sires used in the study, three at location one, and then one at location two, three, and four. And as you can see here, one of the sires that was used at location one was the same sire that was used at locations three and four. Cows are exposed for natural service 14 days after AI, and again, we do this to make sure that if we do have situations where perhaps cows may short cycle, that we're not subject to interpretation of the pregnancy results on the basis of who did conceive to AI versus those who did not. Pregnancy rate was determined by ultrasound 40 to 45 days after AI, and the final pregnancy diagnosis was performed 50 to 60 days at the end of the breeding season. These are the descriptive data of the cows, as you saw in that previous slide on the MGA slide. And you can see here that the treatments are combined relative to the bottom here, the average number of days postpartum. And this is primarily among all cows as to whether or not they consumed MGA, or the cows that were on CEDARs obviously were fruited postpartum when those CEDARs were actually inserted. But they did receive carrier at the time without MGA in it at the time when the MGA fruited cows were consuming MGA and carrier. The average condition score of the cows was, again, a little over 5.5, and of the 650 cows involved in this study, you can see the range in cyclicity rates. The low was 35% at location 3, on up to 80% of the cows that were cycling at location 4. The average for the four locations was 56% of the cows that returned to heat by the time the treatments were imposed. This is the actual time of insemination at the four locations for the cows that were assigned to the NGA Select treatment, and you can see that we were very close to that 72-hour time frame that we had shot for. The average or the mean for the four locations combined was a little over 72 hours. Likewise, with the Cosine plus Cedar protocol, we were at 66.4 hours for the combined insemination time at the four locations. But this slide is more or less a statistical slide, the p-value, what we consider, the scientific community considers to be biologically significant differences among any of the things that are listed here would be if they are in the range of 0.05 or under. And you can see here there were, if we consider the effect of treatment sire and technician on fixed time AI pregnancy rate, there were no effects or differences among pregnancy rates between treatments, among sires, or among the three technicians that were involved in the study. Now, if we look at fixed time AI pregnancy rates between treatments and among locations, to work through this, you can see here that if we look at location one, 66% of the NGA Select treated cows became pregnant versus 64% of the Cosine Cedar treated cows. 66 versus 72 NGA Select versus Cosine Cedar at location two. 58 versus 67 NGA versus Cedar at location 3, and 54% versus 63% at location 4. The combined pregnancy rates for NGA Select, 61% of the cows became pregnant, 201 out of 327 cows, versus 66% of the Cosine Cedar treated. So on pre-treatment cyclicity status of the cows is shown on this slide, and this data I think is interesting from the standpoint that if you look at pregnancy rates of the cycling cows versus those that were actually in estrus, if we just jump to the combined data, because there were no differences again within location by cyclicity status or treatment, 59% of the cycling cows in NGA Select became pregnant versus 64% of the Cosine Cedar treated cows. 64% of the anestrus cows became pregnant at the fixed time AI versus 69% of the anestrus cows on Cosine Cedar. Now, you may be sitting there wondering why the slight or the more variation with the NGA, and I think that's easily explained from the standpoint of NGA consumption versus or in contrast to the Cedar. That's one advantage I think the Cedar has is that once they're in and the retention rate in our hands has been very, very good, you know that the cow is, or the heifer is getting the prescribed amount of hormone on a daily basis for that treatment schedule. Final pregnancy rates between treatments and among locations at the end of the breeding season, very good pregnancy rates for both groups, and again, no statistical difference between them. Then if we look at final pregnancy rates on the basis of all the cows as to when they actually became pregnant, this is the thing that I go back to relative to reproductive management in general and what effective synchronization programs can translate into. 62% of the cows, of all the cows involved, became pregnant in either one of those